This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 14th of October, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Now, I hope you don't mind me this morning. I had to play that song again. You know why? Because my boy Columbus had 400 plus years. How many years Columbus had to perpetuate this lie? This boy had a good 500 plus years. And we've been playing the song for 2 days. I got a long time to play it. We got a long time to retell the story before we find some kind of balance. You could imagine telling a story for 500 plus years. Even if that story is not true, even if it doesn't contain the truth in it. 500 years later, you can't tell anybody any different. Anyway, so now is our time to tell our story. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to get rid of Columbus. Mr. Newry yesterday, he did a little convincing. I need a lot more convincing as to why we shouldn't just completely and totally destroy that Columbus. I'm willing to listen and be convinced. And so I invite Mr. Newry again today to join us for this discussion, to destroy or not to destroy. That is the question. At least that's the question I bring to the table today. I invite you to join the conversation. You may have another question. You may have a perspective that shifts all of our minds, which may be a good thing, and I'm interested to hear it. So if you want to join this conversation today, you can text us on Guardian Radio text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Or you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Like I said yesterday, the same questions apply. What should we do with Columbus? Should we leave it in its current state with some minor repairs and in the same location? Should we repair it and leave it in the same location? Or should we repair or restore and relocate it? Or should we destroy it entirely? Now, I say, I'm willing to budge. I like the idea of not repairing it and leaving it in the same location. But before we get there, we're not just talking about Columbus today. If you have seen anything pressing in the papers, in the news, that you think we've missed or needs to be highlighted, please reach out and share a word. I'm still very, very focused on that security officer ruling. In that case, I think it's called the title of the story in the paper is Major Overtime Pay Win for Employees. This is a very important story. And don't think that's just security guards. You know, if they wanted a better job, they get a better education. Don't think that this still have anything to do with you. The implications of this ruling are very important. Important for all laborers. But what's at the root of the story is important for everybody in the labor force. Every single person. Imagine somebody thought that they could suggest to their workers that they could opt out of overtime pay. For a second, I thought Chikchanis was waking there. And then I remember my Chikchanis are far better behaved than that. I see that light flashing. Producer, that's Mr. Nuri. Okay, Nuri's on Zoom. Caller, give me a moment. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
I'm good, Aaron. Good morning this morning. It's always good to be on your program and to be again to speak on this topic.
Yeah, man, thank you. Listen, as far as I'm concerned, you are an expert to me. And although you label yourself an amateur historian, you certainly put in far more work than I have, you know, on this subject. And so although I am adamant in my position that I think we should destroy it, I am more than willing to listen to people who have not just have an opinion and not just have an informed opinion, but have focused, right? Like they've spent time and energy and effort into understanding the history surrounding the statue and the events that led to the creation of the statue. So I really appreciate your voice in this discussion, even if we disagree. And I think we should all be willing to listen at the very least. And that's one of the messages, you know, I think overall to the government. The discussion that we were having day before yesterday about the new press briefing rules is that centered even in that process should be a clear indication of the state's willingness to listen to the people. You don't necessarily have to commit to following any particular path or agenda or special interest agenda, but you have to commit to listening to the people. And I appreciate this discussion. I want the audience to call in and tell me what they think about that. I see I got a caller on the line. Caller, give me a second. It's just one other thing I want to mention before we sort of get into the general show. And I think tomorrow is International Day of Rural Women Producers. And I will have a couple of guests on from the Bahamas National Association of Rural Women Producers. And if you're living in the Bahamas and wondering, well, what does rural mean in the context of the Bahamas? Like, we're not like the U.S., where rural could mean in Texas, thousands and thousands of acres of farmland, right? Or further north, forests and more dense flora. Rural in this sense means family island, exterior, sort of disconnected from central services. That's what it means in this sense. And so I'm going to have a guest on to talk about their day of events and their virtual seminar that's happening tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. So Arlington, let's get to that caller quickly, see what they want, and then we're going to get into this discussion. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Golly, there's a stocky on the voice along with you, Aaron, pretty eye grand.
Good morning. Look here, I'm going to call, bring in the whole clan. I have to have a child because I have to call my whole clan pretty eye greens.
Who are you going to have the child for?
Don't put a case. Why would you case a man like that? Please, give them some time to run and get their affairs in order, Bremen.
You never know.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyhow, this voice too common. It's not my main reason for calling. So if you break, I want you to put me on hold. But my first question is, and comment, knowing that Columbus statue that monument were not from Britain.
Right.
And he was from Spain. Do his family got copyright for having him in our country as a monument?
Okay, so, and I think maybe Cecil could help us with that. Let me rephrase it so I think I can get it clearly. You wondering whether the descendants of Christopher Columbus receive any benefit, payment, or reward because images of his likeness and representations of him are not only erected in countries, but people are generating cash from it? You're asking if his descendants receive any of that money?
Right.
Okay. And the second one?
The second one, when I was in junior school, right?
Uh-huh.
That's been some time ago. I never thought the information which we're getting today, they thought of his three ships and how, I think it was Queen Isabella, gave some money to come, you know, to travel around, and he thought that the world was flat.
Uh-huh.
That's what we...
thought, yeah.
Right. Now, my main reason for calling you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want card number two, the international people who are responsible for legal affairs.
Right, like international observers?
Right.
Okay.
And
All right, pause right there. So you're saying that you think that there may be a particular issue at court number two, and you're trying to reach out to the people who would have oversight for the judiciary and for courts in particular?
Not maybe. It is.
Okay, but if it is, we can't talk about it on the air. You see, that's the problem.
What it is.
I know, but I think we've reached a point where the point has been made. You think that we need some oversight, judicial oversight in court, in the magistrate system in court number two. And let's leave it right there. The powers that be are listening. And then what I can do is I can get back to you, Brayman. Like I would tell you, the first thing I tell you is call the Eugene DePuch Legal Aid Law Clinic. And they could advise you as to whether this is a real problem and who you should direct your concerns to.
I'm in the process. I've had already done that to an extent.
Okay.
But my point is, I would like to have justice.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. I appreciate that, Brayman. And but sometimes you got to balance how much of your case you bring into the public so it doesn't jeopardize your chance at justice. But so, Cecil, good morning. You still there?
I am here. I'm sorry.
I forget the delay. I forget there's a delay. So that was a very interesting question from Brayman about Columbus. Dudes of Columbus, or does Spain as a nation state have a mechanism or a fund where they collect or receive some sort of payment or like copyright payment for the presence of Christopher Columbus in other nation states?
And not that I know of. I've never heard that question poised to anybody. As you know, we have a number of names, regal names, like John F. Kennedy Drive and Princess Margaret Hospital.
Right.
All of these are named after foreigners, and we don't pay for the use of those. So I'm assuming that a private sculpture owned by the Bahamas government there shouldn't be any kind of payment for that.
Now let's take it in reverse, right? Because I can see how not just Christopher Columbus, but maintaining, keeping, even creating new ones, statues of monuments and of individuals from historic figures from the past, you know, if it's done in a strategic way, can create a wonderful tourism product, right? An exciting income-generating tourism product. So, I appreciate that aspect of the discussion. And so I'm going to ask this question. Like, there's a band right now. There's a guy right now. He sings music. The name of his band is Bahama. This boy going to call his band Bahama. Like Bahamas, the whole country. And
yes.
Every time I go on YouTube and I see this boy, I just want to run hot and write the Prime Minister, CARICOM, everybody tell this place stop. And so if this place using our name, and like the company Tommy Bahama, I say we should be suing them for copyright.
And I hear you, and that's a reasonable argument.
Right,
but one must understand that most of the things that happen inside this country is done externally. The rules and the copyright rules are all, and then we adopt them afterwards. More likely that good gentleman copyrighted the name before we decided to have it, consider copyrighting it, and it belongs to him.
How could you, hold on.
In the future, he may sue us. But and say, man, I copyright this fair and square in an international court that you are bound to.
All right.
So sometimes you gotta pick your battles.
But listen, this is the battle though, Cecil, because at the root of this discussion of whether we destroy or keep this statue is about our relationship to colonialism and imperialism, right? And it's the way that it's about our identity, who we are, and how we've seen and treated in the world as well. And so for me, this is the crux of it. I don't necessarily want to sue them, but what I want to know is if there are historic figures that are rooted in the Bahamas or from the Bahamas, can we make money on them in other jurisdictions? And
we have been making money, and this conversation should be about what is the narrative that we want to portray to the world? Is Columbus going to be a part of our history? Are we going to try and market it and make money off it? Is it something that we should recognize and herald and have as a talking point, or is something that we should shun and erase? There are a number of countries, Turks and Caicos, for example, and there's another Caribbean country, who claim that Columbus never came to the Bahamas at all. In fact, there were the islands that Columbus came and visited. They were the first islands.
Okay,
right?
Look here. Oh, wait,
the audacity of them.
What?
Right?
Okay.
But my point is Columbus' misfortune of being lost has made us globally significant.
Right. Now, pause right
here. We are in the annals of world history that anytime you mention Columbus, the small islands of the Bahamas, which you cannot see on a globe, is mentioned.
I got
right?
you.
Pause. Mind you, it's only a sentence. And we're not mentioned no more after that.
But all I need is a sentence. All we need is a sentence to get our foot.
Yes. And that's why I said that the monument of Columbus is not praising Columbus, but is recognizing that point in history where that sentence was written about the Bahamas.
Okay, pause right there.
Springboard. Are now the gateway for the world, and that all of the world must mark our manner no matter what.
I got
you. No other country can claim what we can claim.
Absolutely.
And that
Cecil,
we must be recognized for it.
I got you. Pause for a moment. I got two calls and I got 85 texts. Let's get to the calls. That's an important point you make. We're going to get right back into there. Caller, you're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. Wondering how you're going to get into this thing. I've been listening to you for 4 days, dog. I ain't getting it.
I'm sorry.
No, man. It's your fault. That's your show. It's so hot.
Yeah, man. But
I need to throw some the water from Adrian Green on it.
You mean Gibson? But boy, look here. He almost...
Well, let me quickly get to my point. I think we should continue the celebration of Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
One, the country gave the statue to us. Two, historical history. I love history. Tourists. If you study the history of tourists from our tourist industry, you will see tons of tourists used to visit, and that's April 1961, to visit the Bahamas, New Providence, especially, for Christopher Columbus. New Providence became the number one island that tourists would go to for Christopher Columbus and the Queen Victoria statue. I need you, Aaron, to check those history. Florida death the other day. Listen to this. I close with this. Florida death the other day. And if you are Florida station celebrating Christopher Columbus, you know people from all over the states and the European came to Florida. You check all the Florida station, local 10, local
it
local
was big,
4,
big news.
And Fox 7.
All right.
Celebration. I know the gentleman aware of that. So, but I'm trying to say, based on those notes, we need to continue. We next to Florida.
I got
and
you.
And we carry the greatest cost. during that time, you created the greatest statue where we could build it back, and they continue to celebrate it because it's a tourist market.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I say if we're going to keep it, I don't want to build it back. But let's get to the next caller. Cecil, caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. I say that what we ought to do is pull the statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put it away, you know. It really doesn't matter quite. I mean, we perhaps need to celebrate the indigenous people of this country.
Absolutely.
You know, get the statues of them, you know, build statues of slavery. You know, I don't see where we need to have a statue to sell colonialism. I don't see where the Columbus discovery of the New World was a good thing for indigenous people, the many people that are slaughtered. You know, slavery is not a good thing for them. Itself is not a positive thing for Africa. So why these people should be celebrating them? The world know what has been done, the atrocity that has been done in slavery and history, you know. So, you know, we have issues, or we need to make money from many things that we don't make money from, or we don't want to make money from.
Absolutely.
What about drugs? Why don't we, what about making a statue of our drug lords? A statue of our drug lords?
Well, listen, hold on.
Celebrate that.
Carl, I got to put you on pause. because you can cause me start a revolution up in here. Like, I don't want to talk about, well, then we have to talk about the drug trade, and we have to talk about the war on drugs, and then we have to talk about the extension of the Monroe Doctrine and how the war on drugs is a political economic policy to sort of stagnate the development of developing countries, right? So you never become a developed, right? And by shutting off those small states' access to the global economy, and so those small states turn to a narco economy to be able to generate money to participate, right? And so when we look at a boy like Pinling, we have to do a thorough investigation of the good and the bad and the why, the whys. And then some people will argue, like me, will argue that it's worth interrogating whether the allowing the transshipment of narcotics through the country was a part of a wider regional response to an economic policy that was designed to stagnate our development in an environment that suggested that they were facilitating our development. And so when you say it like that, then the question is, what's the difference between making a drug runner a hero and making a rum runner a hero, right? Or making a shipwrecker a hero? But I don't want to complicate it too much. That's why I had to put you on hold. And so you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I'm saying. We say we need to make money off Columbus. We need to make money off Columbus. You know, we feel like, Columbus is our savior.
But he's not. It's just an opportunity.
Like, if we can't produce our own food, we can't do without this nation of the next.
Okay, I got to go. But thank you so much. I see you got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? Sorry. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, pleasant good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And good morning to your guests and good morning to the nation. Just wanted to make a comment, a single comment relating to this whole Columbus discussion. I believe that, and this is for the government of the Bahamas, public statement.
Hold on, when you say for the government of the Bahamas, you mean on their behalf, or are you speaking to them?
No. Directed to them.
Okay,
because
cool.
Because the whole discussion that's been ongoing, right? I believe that whatever decision there is to be made relating to whether the statue is restored or whether it is removed, I believe that such a decision should come down to involving and including the entire country becoming a part of such a discussion and giving approval or giving non-approval. If such a course of action is not pursued, then what we will do is enter into a realm where no matter who the government is, this government decides they want to do something, They just go ahead and do it as it relates to our history. And our history will continue to be rewritten and rewritten, except the people in masses,
thank you,
the people across the country, yeah, are involved in giving their approval or non-approval to make such a move. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Antoine. I want to call us just a pause for a second. We got to recognize this moment. I never thought I'd have to say this, but Antoine, you sort of ascribing faults to, you know, this space to this party. But, you know, successive parties have done that. We have a history of that, of making these decisions, these vital and important decisions about that impact both, or I mean, not just both, but the past, the present, and the future without us. And I'm going to draw you back in case you all don't understand why I'm so excited about that comment. Antoine, is because a couple of days ago, we have the Honorable Philip Brave Davis in reference to the Columbus statue, and I quote, saying, "We'll decide what we're going to do going forward." And I just wonder who this "we'll" is, because I think one of the points that was made, I have this beautiful quote that I found on your wall, actually, Cecil, yesterday from, I think, a person named Anne Marie. And it said, "We will continue to have more Archangel Michaels tearing down symbols of colonialism until we tear down the systems of colonialism and we can all enjoy and benefit from our country equally." And what I got from that was that, you know, if we don't allow people to participate fully in their own governance, then we're going to see more and more acts like these. Mr. Newey, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah,
I'm listening. And I hear you, but we've elected a government to lead us. And so I expect a government to lead and make decisions for the best interests of the country and nationhood, which is a far greater arch than trying to pacify the people of the Bahamas. And mind you, that seems to be an oxymoron because, you know, the government is supposed to try to pacify the Bahamian people also. But we understand that with leadership comes with tough decisions in order for the best interest of the country.
See, so for a second, I thought I was in Jamaica or Haiti, where you, a government, dealing with, you know, over 1 million people to 10 million people. We're talking about 400,000 people.
And we see that we have issues governing those same 400,000 people. And
no,
you can
no.
see that by how Bay Street look. You can see that how the hospital look. We can see that how we pay with national insurance. So we do have big issues for a nation with a small 400,000 population. So dismissing it to saying that our population is so small and we don't have and should be easy to govern, surely we proved that. We proved that that's not what
I
saying.
Argue. Like, hold on.
Before you go on, Aaron,
yeah.
I wanted to say that I remember about 30, 40 years ago when persons made overtures to the government to purchase Columbus statue. They saw the value in it. And the government refused, said, "Man, no, this is a monument of the Bahamas, and that we don't want to get rid of it, right?" But there are people around the world who would purchase it on the quick, whatever price we want for it, because they see the value of it and the story of it, the story of who Irving Washington is, the story of who the sculpture is, Grubbo, the story of that, the story of Dumas and the Three Musketeers. All of that give the value of this particular statue. It's just that we are not exposed to the statue's history, so we don't attribute value to it. Mm-hmm. And moving forward, we need to control our narrative, right? Most of our narrative are external based, where we don't even know, despite being the country where Columbus first encountered coming to the New World, we have no in-depth history of what happened and transpired to when Columbus came to this side of the world. We now have to wait on foreigners to give us information on our history. Mm-hmm. In fact, most of our records about the Bahamas is still inside the United Kingdom.
Look at that,
they are waiting for us to mature enough to even have it to have a national museum.
Shout out to us.
We are not matured enough to get our own history.
Look at
and
that.
This is the conversations we need to be talking
and
about.
Hold on.
And there's a reason for that.
Hold on.
We destroy things.
No. I was about to say, we destroy things, but they will make you think that the reason is because a boy like Archangel Michael has destroyed things. But as soon as you said that, I thought about them two boy, them who was fighting in the cabinet building and break up the table. You know?
And nothing came about it.
Right? I think about that fire at the generator at BPL, and ain't nothing come out of it. It's like, you know, you right. But I wonder if we attributing blame to the wrong set of people. You know?
But as soon as we get matured enough to send, have these relics, we can have these.
Well, yeah, see,
and we can host them in our own.
And I don't have a, but Cecil, I don't have a problem
about having a place.
But Cecil, I don't have a problem with that, right? I just have a problem with the suggestion that it's people like Archangel Michael who are the problem and not the people who've been getting paid now, some for decades, that didn't realize that they had to ensure that all of the monuments in the country were gazetted and recognized under the Monuments Act. I don't think Archangel Michael is the problem. I think it's a whole bunch of them sitting on a hill somewhere that don't realize that they are the problem and they are the reason why foreigners think we can't take care of ourselves. But look here, I get to read a bunch of texts and I don't want anybody in the audience to think I shutting down this part of the conversation. But if we continue with down this road, Cecil, I'll never get to the texts. I want you to know I appreciating this. So
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a text here. I got to read that last. And Texter, you know who you are. Good morning, Aaron. My view is take Columbus at the entrance of the harbor. He came by boat. Let's place a Bahamian hero in front of Government House. My view.
Aaron, before you move on.
Yeah.
People forget what Government House represents, right?
Uh-huh.
How can you put a Bahamian nationalist in front of a colonial, a colonizer building?
But listen,
this is an oxymoron.
It's even better than that. Why does it bother you so much, but it didn't bother you that not one person at Bahama the other day swore allegiance to the Bahamas, the Bahamian people, their ancestors, their descendants? Not a one. Not one. And so I don't understand why people like you say so invested in this, not realizing why would you do that? Nobody else seems to be concerned about what is Bahamian. Another text. Good morning, Miss Green. Christopher Columbus may have perpetrated crimes against humanity were before us, but I argue that he has never harmed any Bahamian. Lucayans. They were extinct before any of our ancestors arrived. Chris is a part of history. His blunders brought our existence onto the pages of history, whether we like it or not. We should not repair it and place him by the sea. I like the last half, like not repairing it. That other half, I'm going to read for y'all this quote, well, a paraphrase quote from Dr. Chris Curry about the difference between the past and history. The past is what happened. History is how what happened is interpreted and contextualized. And canon does change as new artifacts, evidence, and contexts are found or arise. All right, I got to get through all of these texts. Another one. When can we expect another Ministry of Health update and press conference? They're listening. They can get to you soon. Overtime and vacation are absolutely enforced. Years ago, an employer told us only 1 week vacation for the first 3 years. The employee who complained was paid the extra week, then fired. The reason people get double time on holidays is because businesses open shorter hours. The reason people, I don't think that's what it is. You're paying people for their labor when they should be enjoying their leisure because we respect labor and laborers. And we don't in this town. Y'all just acknowledge it. You don't. And the least advantage you think the person is, the less advantage you think they are, the more people are prone to take advantage of them. Another text, great show as usual. One good thing Columbus did is he more than likely was the reason we have an island full of mango skin women in Eleuthera and Long Island. That is racism and imperialism and colorism. And text, I got to do a whole show on that. In fact, you called somebody called my private line just now. Another text, great show as usual. We should repair the statue and leave it where it is because it won't change the attitude and the mindset of the people. If the statue is destroyed or not, we still have less than $500 in our account. To that person calling me, I am on air and cannot take your call. Another text, what next? Someone would want to damage the statue or the former prime minister, Sir Lyndon Pinling. I believe we need to put him, meaning Christopher Columbus, statue down at the prison where he belongs, locked up behind bars. Another text. Royal Bank seems out of control. Why are they still here? I want to do a full show on that. I was trying to find a sort of way to link it to this discussion we're having today, because there are links. I think maybe we need a legal team to sit and assess. You see, one of the reasons why WTO is sort of attractive, right, is because, like, under the WTO system, right, a Canadian bank couldn't go into a foreign jurisdiction and do something there that they can't do in their own jurisdiction. I don't know if the Canadian banks can do the things they do here in their own jurisdictions, and I don't know why the government would let them. But the government would let a statue of Christopher Columbus lord over the Negro population for centuries, so there's that. Another text, Junkanoo is copyright by a foreigner. No! Junkanoo, the word, is copyrighted by a foreigner? Another text, leave our statues and busts and government house alone. It's our history. Is it really your history, or is it the history of the white imagination? Like most things here, including the tourism product. Another text, good morning, Aaron. Did I just hear you call Prime Minister Pinsley, Miss Green? Yes, I did call him a boy, a most honorable boy. I did do that. He is a man, a regular man, like I'm a regular woman. And he was fallible, like regular people. And I call him a boy, and if I know your name, I can call you a boy too, because boy is not disparaging or derogatory. Boy is Bahamian. Another text, morning, Lady Green and guests. Slavery was degrading and dark-skinned mankind on all people who were not designated white. Hence, anything to that was my part there. Hence, anything to remind or celebrate slavery to make money or survival is being held hostage. Free ourselves from the mental slavery and celebration, our independence and heroism, from the mayor of Grand Bahama, Mr. Rudolph C. Stubbs. Thank you, Mr. Stubbs. Break. So the callers on the line, I'm so sorry. I had to get through those texts. Most of them been there from the top of the show. We're going to go to this break. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. When we get back, we're going to continue this conversation, get to the callers, and get some more nuggets of wisdom from Mr. Nuri. We'll be right back.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell to the go tumble up. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas invites students in grades 4 at Bahamas Video Essay Competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5 minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the 2-4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Tita go tumble up. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021. This one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, Cecil Newry, amateur historian, is my guest this morning, doing a good job of convincing me why we shouldn't break down Christopher Columbus statue. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning again, Aaron. And I was thinking about something while I was on the commercial break.
Yeah.
The world does not know that the Bahamas has a queen, that we are a constitutional monarchy, uh-huh. Right? That we have, most folks would think we are part of your Florida Keys, in fact, and that we are part of the United States. But every time you drive past government houses,
yeah.
They stop and mention that this is the governor general's house. He represents the queen. And they said, which queen is that? He said, the queen of England. And they give the history of that. Even might even throw in that we once had a king as the governor of the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
The building itself tells a tale and it informs persons who pass who don't know Bahamian history. The same reason as few people around the world know that Columbus ever passed or got lost in the waters of the Bahamas. They do not know. But when you drive past that colonizer building, government house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see the big statue. Of course, the statue looks like a musketeer. And they ask, what is that? And you say, well, that's supposed to be Columbus, right? And they'll ask, why is Columbus here? We know who Columbus is. Well, in fact, Columbus did pass through Bahamas. And he got lost here. And this is where he met the Awaks. And the person say, well, I didn't know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
This gives us an opportunity to engage foreigners, guests of our nation, and to remind them that we are globally significant. And we might say, we can put Columbus in a book. Tourists and people who pass here don't read no books.
Absolutely. And for me, all I need is the opportunity. All I need is the opportunity to engage. I can tell them
And the statue gives us the opportunity to remind people that Columbus was a monster. He killed all the Awaks who was living inside the Bahamas. In fact, we can't even rename our ocean the Lulucayan Sea, because we got to wait for foreign persons to give us permission to rename the ocean that we, or the Lulucayan Sea that we live in.
We could just
all
rename it,
and conversation can be held because the statue is there, and that we can inform whoever we come in contact with.
But see, I'm of a different, I can call it a different generation, because for me, we could rename the sea whatever we want right now. In the same way that George Bush Jr. could continue to get up on television and tell people that the first place that Columbus fall in the New World was the U.S., right? Like, we could do it the same way he could just do it. But I got a call, Cecil. Let's try to get this last call in before the end of the show. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Mr. C.A., you know, I'm hearing and I listen to Mr. Newry,
uh-huh.
But guess what? The same context that he used in reference to when you tourists and you give this lesson to the tourists about Columbus, can't you do the same thing about Smiley Butler or one of our heroes, perched there?
Yeah.
He has been, all the Victorian stuff and all this good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we're connected to. However, this is the Bahamas. We have our children, our grandchildren. They need to know our history. They need to appreciate. You keep saying that, and it's about the tourists. Yeah, that's all percentage-wise as well and good.
Yeah.
We have outstanding heroes. We have outstanding monuments. The straw market, for example. I saw on the news where the tourists, the cruise ships, oh, wonderful, they're here. They're on the caddies driving, being driven. But they're driving past our straw market.
Okay, I got to go.
So we need to deal with things like this.
Yeah, I got to go. Thank you very much. And Cecil, let me tell you why I like that point she made about the straw market. The government knows that the straw market cannot reopen in its present condition.
If you'd like to make a call.
Right? The government knows that. The building and the structure of the building is no longer viable given the new paradigm we're living in. They know that they have to do something different to bring the quote-unquote straw market back. It don't seem like they doing anything. And I put the I put the fault and the blame in the hands of government. And so my position is, if the government refuses, continually refuses to listen to the voices of the people or inculcate them in this particular process of governance, then the people are going to do what people is do, which is continue living and continue creating an environment that is viable for their survival. And maybe the Christopher Columbus statue in its current location and condition is not viable to be in this environment where Bahamians...
And Aaron, you blame the government and I blame the straw vendors. Imagine if all of the straw vendors brought all their stuff and put it in front of Scotia Building and said, we plan to sell our markets today. I bet you the government would have solved that issue overnight.
Right. I you know, and then I thought about how long it took the police officers to get to that traffic accident by the Sydney Poitier Bridge. But then I realized, no, that's town proper. They'll be there in a second. But look here, Cecil, I got to read these texts, and a couple of them are for you. Good morning, Aaron. My view is Tay Columbus. We got that one. Ask Mr. Newry, what statue would he like to see in front of Government House?
Well, Government House represents the Queen, right? It's a colonizer place. All the governor generals we have represents the Queen. The Queen come first, the governor generals reflect
right.
the Queen.
So
we got to remember what the Government House represents.
Okay, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some oversized grannies, indigenous women and African indigenous women, right? Because Africans have a degree of indigeneity in the region now. I want to see overtowering grannies looking over, they doing the right thing.
Once they represent the Queen.
No, they can't represent the Queen. They are making sure the Queen understands what their function is. Another text.
And that's a political stance right there, because the Government House represents the Queen.
Yeah, man. Don't watch nothing. We just watching over and making sure she's safe. Good show, and we must stop this missed opportunities. History is what it is, so simply capitalize and make money on tours and highlight why his hand and feet was chopped is all a part of the story. See, this is what I'm saying. It'll be a better story if you tell it like that. Another text, great show as usual. If the government don't want Columbus statue, could they give it to me so I could sell it on eBay and use the proceeds to pay off my mortgage? See, that's the most fundamental point. What is the value of that statue or heritage tourism, or the people in the country cannot afford to clothe and house themselves? Another text now, I can read that one. Tomorrow, what do we say about the Africans who sold their own in the slave trade? We say to the descendants of those Africans, you know that that is not a clear representation of what happened. And why would you treat and look upon your ancestors with such disdain and disregard? I pray for your peace and blessings, Texter. Last text, I gotta go. Hey, Aaron, simply focusing on a statue is like a slave changing masters. You drive on streets like Shirley Street, named after William Shirley, a slave owner. Listen, buddy, I don't drive on them. If I could, I'd live on Frank Watson Boulevard, but I can't afford it. Anyway, I don't even know if they have any houses. To that text, I didn't read your text. I'm gonna read it one day. It was rough. And as soon as you mentioned that boy named Miles Monroe, I was about to tell you, you know, you could be free if you wanted to. We all could be free if we want to. Mr. Newry, thank you so much. We got to do it again. To my audience, thank you. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next, so stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
But how could this world be new when it's much older than Adam and Eve? Columbus lie, Columbus lie.